Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Okay, and welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. My name is Joe Trier, and tonight we are playing the scenario that I wrote, The Idol of Thoth, available on DriveThruRPG right now. And I am joined by three fantastic players. We're going to do some very quick introductions, a very short recap, because for us it's been a few weeks since we played the last game, and then we're going to jump straight into last week's terrible cliffhanger. So, Owen, how are you doing tonight, and who are you playing?
I'm doing good. I'm playing Montana Monty Jones, currently currently staring down the barrel of a gun in a museum, effectively, and possibly after killing the Prime Minister of England.
Well, yeah, we'll do. I think it was a random person in the crowd, my memory, but we'll find out soon.
No, I killed the Prime Minister of England, and I'm now the Prime Minister. That's how it works, right?
It's like Highlander. There can only be one.
It's fucking Highlander here, like.
Okay, so and that voice is Niall. Welcome back, Niall. How are you, and who are you playing tonight?
I'm doing good. I am playing Frank O'Driscoll, a PI working for the Spencer Randall PI group. And in the last chapter, I got clubbed severely over the head, and I'm now in hospital trying to survive.
I do have a habit of rolling a lot of really good rolls whenever I attack you guys.
Yeah, like the crazy hobo back in Ties That Bind, was it?
Oh my god.
That was Edge of Darkness, yeah.
Edge of Darkness, sure.
Brutal.
And last but by no means least, we have Curran. Curran, how are you tonight, and who are you playing?
No, I'm good. I am playing Colin. He doesn't have a last name, or at least he's not willing to disclose it.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, not dramatic in the slightest, yeah. Well, Colin is he used to be a crook, well, sort of a con man, but he's turned away from the life of crime and has decided to join Spencer Randall's investigation people. and he's on this whirlwind adventure where he has actually ended up getting himself knocked out before Frank, and then I tried to save Frank. I believe we're in the hospital now, so
yeah.
see how this goes. Talk's clear. The talk is clicking. Good job. Yeah, the clock is ticking.
So we'll do a bit of a quick recap. So obviously the two boys were up outside of Arkham. They were exploring through Professor Vincent Gray's house, and he told them all sorts of terrible things about this ancient artifact called the Idol of Thoth that came alive many millennia ago, possessed an entire city, and destroyed it in riots and terrible flames. The Arcanatem fragment, so the story of that destruction. And he told them that the idol was not stolen, it was just invisible, and it only sort of comes alive in the moonlight. So right now it is actually still back in the museum, possessing, or potentially possessing, anyone who looks upon it. They were then attacked by Clarence Butterworth, who beat them to the ground and set the house on fire, leaving them for dead. And I think we left them sort of staggering off to the nearest hospital, which will be in a small town called Crawley. Meanwhile, Owen's character met with Ethel, who acted very innocent until he began to kind of explain what he knew, at which point she admitted that she was working for Nyla Athatap and locked him in the cellar. He tried to escape using a found artifact. It's like an ancient Chinese spear or something you found.
I want to know what they're called. They're gaos? I think they're called gaos.
Could be. I'm not great on Chinese weaponry. This would be where we'd need Dave. He'd probably tell us exactly.
This is where we miss Dave, yeah.
So listeners, if you know what it's called, please write in, because I'm not going to Google it.
It's going to drive me nuts if I don't get it, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Nevertheless, he did not manage to, there wasn't enough room to get the right leverage and couldn't open the door. But what he did do is hear all the guests heading towards the atrium where the artifact would possess them. Knocking on the door and causing up a ruckus, he managed to grab the attention of the Prime Minister of England, who happened to be the honoured guest, who opened the door. Shocked by his dishevelled appearance and his angry countenance, especially when he launched the spear directly at Ethel. Unfortunately, a bad roll meant that missed, and I think we ended last week's episode on her pulling out a gun and firing at you. So, let's see how she does. The crowd are basically going insane. They're screaming and shouting in confusion, and the Prime Minister is kind of like, oh, what am I going to do? And Ethel's shot rings out for everyone to hear, and she gets a 9, which I believe is an extreme success. It might be an impale.
No, my armor is 14, so it doesn't beat it.
Oh, is that how it works?
That's how it works, right? That's how it works, right?
Grasping at straws.
Actually, no, so her firearm's actually only 40%, so it's a hard success. So it's not an impale, otherwise you'd be in serious trouble. So I need a dodge roll.
I'm still going to die eventually. Come on, dodge. What do I get for dodge? 30. Oh, boy. Oh. I rolled a 45.
How much luck do you have?
I have 12 luck, so no luck.
You are okay. Shit out of luck, sir.
So yeah, there's D6 damage as the bullet hammers into your chest and does 4 points of damage.
I'm okay with that. I got 6 left.
6 left, fine. And that's not caused a major wound because that's 5 in one go or 50. What's your total? You've got more than 8, I assume.
I have 10.
The bullet hammers into your chest and you basically kind of, for a moment, you don't feel anything. And then you suddenly drop to your knees, staggered, and you see you sort of clutching your chest and look down and see blood sort of leaking out through your fingers. You kind of gasp, and then you are grabbed from behind by a sturdy pair of hands. And recognizing the immaculate suit, it seems to be the Prime Minister of England who has grabbed onto you.
Oh, Prime Minister, your hands are so strong. That's not what I say.
That's
what you think.
Actually, yeah, that is what I say. Fuck it. That is what I say. Fuck it.
Let's move the camera over then to Crawley, Massachusetts, where the two boys have basically had the best first aid that the 1925 hospitals can give you. And you are feeling pretty terrible. You're in adjoining beds after probably surgery or certainly some serious first aid. And you're approached by an old-looking doctor, an austere man. And he introduces himself as Dr. Nathaniel Coombs. And he looks at you and you kind of look up. Obviously, Curran's head is completely bandaged. And Niall, was it in the stomach where you got stabbed? Or thumped?
I got whacked across the head with a club.
So you're both kind of like, yeah, dressed up in sort of huge bandages, and he looks at you both and goes, well, gentlemen, who have you been tackling with?
Pulled the bandages off my face. We were out visiting a friend of ours, and someone broke into the house and just attacked us. They blindsided us. We didn't see who it was.
Well, you are both very lucky to be alive. Honestly, if the blow had been slightly harder or you'd been any slower getting here, we wouldn't be talking now. I honestly recommend you stay here for at least the next week until we can arrange for you to be transported to your own hospitals where we can talk to your own doctors.
We don't have time for that. We have to get out. We have to get out now.
Yeah, if you could do us a favor and go call the police and say you should search for the man who assaulted us is a Clarence Buttersworth.
I'd pass that on, but honestly, gentlemen, I'd really advise against leaving your beds. If you take a single blow, like a single one, if you lose more than one hit point, you are just dead.
I've actually got 2 hit points, Doctor.
And I've got 5, just so you know.
Honestly, I'm talking about the major wounds that you've both sustained here.
That is true, yeah.
I'd really recommend against it, but I'll go and tell the police now. We've got a man downstairs. Please. What did you say his name was?
Clarence Buttersworth.
Of course, gentlemen. I'll do that straight away.
He's a slippery character.
Boom.
Very, very funny.
So, little fist bump.
He kind of looks at you fist bumping and just shakes his head and walks off.
Trust me, it'll catch on.
Colin, I think this might be a good time for us to realize that we might be a bit out of our depth, and maybe we should give Spencer or the company a call.
Well, Spencer has at least a 90 in firearms, so I'm pretty sure he can take Clarence.
He really does. It'd be amazing if I could get Aaron in just for this one moment to do a quick cameo.
Just shoot Clarence and walk away. Thanks, buddy.
It's so like it's like Superman in the comics, right? He shows up, fixes it, leaves.
I kinda, like, I get up and hobble over to like... I'll say there's a phone in the room somewhere, maybe.
We could probably organise that, yeah. So you find, you know, you talk to the operator who transfers you through. In fact, it actually takes a really long while, and she says that they're having a number of problems in Boston right now, and there's various lines are down, and there seems to be a problem with some of the, I think, like, operator sort of stations. And so she tries to call one, and there's just no answer, and another one, there's a line dead. But eventually she gets through, and the voice answers, and it's...
Hello, this is Spencer Randall, detective... Oh, shit.
And there's like an explosion.
Oh, God. Hello?
And he starts whispering.
It's the Spencer Randall Detective Agency. Dennis here. Dennis Campbell. The Clue.
Dennis, this is Frank. This is Frank O'Driscoll. What's going on there?
Oh, Jesus, Frank. Where the hell are you?
We're in Crawley. We got attacked. We're in a hospital. Me and Colin.
Jesus, all right. You don't know of someone called Montana, do you?
Yeah, he's a guy that we were investigating this whole missing idol with. The guy, what's his name?
Oh, Jesus Christ, that was close. Monty. There's something terrible going on here, but your friend Montana, he's called here saying that you know him and that you have to get him out.
Get him out of where?
He's been arrested. Apparently he tried to kill the Prime Minister of England.
Jesus Christ. I'd like to put the phone out. Apparently Monty tried to kill the Prime Minister of England.
Fucking Monty.
I think he's earned a bro fist.
He's definitely part of the club now.
So where is he? He's in prison in Boston or what?
Yeah, so, well, Spencer's headed down there. He's going to go and try and clear it up. You know, he has a sway with some of the police stations down there. He's going to go and try and sort it out. But honestly, I'd probably stay away from here. There's something.
There's like another explosion outside and this sort of cry. It sounded like a woman screaming.
Something's terrible going. Oh God, there's someone at the door. Right, I've got to go. Stay away from Boston. But if you do come, your friends at this precinct.
He rattles off an address.
I've got to go. There's a cupboard with my name on it. Bye.
And he runs off, and he actually leaves the phone off the hook, and you can hear him like running over to the side room where he's locked himself in a cupboard.
What was his name?
Dennis.
Dennis Campbell.
Oh,
Dennis the Clue Campbell.
Dennis. So Frank, what's the situation?
It sounds like there's something happening in Boston right now that doesn't sound very safe. Dennis said Monty's at this precinct. Spencer's gone to get him out, apparently. I think he said not to go back to Boston. There's shit going down, but I think we have to go and help Monty out. I mean, like, from what I know of him, I couldn't see him attacking the Prime Minister of Britain for no reason. I mean, there has to be something happening.
Well, perhaps the Prime Minister told him the truth about his book.
Oh, no.
That aliens are out there.
Oh, no. We have to get to the police right now.
An honest opinion to Monty is devastating, so we should...
There's no such thing as, like, a creative criticism. It's all negative.
Yeah, it's like, it's not constructive. You're just telling me I'm shit.
Yeah. It's like,
we should head off before the doctor comes back.
Yeah, I think it's a fire exit at the back.
I'll leave a quick note.
Can you write,
Colin? Sorry, Doc, we gotta go. Barely. Sorry, we gotta go. Boston's in trouble. Friend tried to kill Prime Minister. Peace. Done.
Boston's in trouble. We must go. There's a fire exit, say, just out the room to the right at the end of the hallway that, like, we can sneak out.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm saying that.
So do you remember who was the driver? Do you remember?
Karen drove us here. It was my car. It was my car, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I was driving.
Yeah.
I can drive us again and try to get us there a bit faster.
Again.
Okay. Give me a drive roll. It's late. You're not entirely sure what time. but it's definitely dark. The rain seems to have abated, though, so the night seems clear. Give me a drive roll. Let's see if we can speed this up.
I was going to say, what's your drive on now?
Base.
Base. All right, so I'm just gonna drive then.
I'm still groggy. I'm like, I got really clubbed across the head. Like, I'm kind of so woozy. I shouldn't be driving.
Oh, God. 67 against 20. But I do have 70 luck. So I will use 47 Ooh. Luck.
To get there quicker?
To get there quicker, yeah.
Okay, so it would normally take 2 hours to navigate through... I mean, the road from Boston to Ark isn't too far, but it's renowned for traffic, and actually you get there in no time at all.
Like,
you
probably, how about on our way in, like, there's traffic leaving the city but none going into it?
And I think that's 100%. It's like, 28 days later, so the Independence Day. So, like, the traffic coming out is manic, but the road going in is completely empty. And you're driving through the city, and you're kind of using the back routes and side streets, and then your road is blocked ahead by what seems to be a group of crazed-looking people. They're all in kind of, like, dinner suits and like flapper skirts. Like, they're really, really well-dressed and certainly shouldn't be wandering around Boston at this time of night. And they kind of see you, and they let out this scream. I don't know if you've ever seen Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But this horrible, like, ear-splitting, inhuman, animalistic scream echoes out, and they all just charge towards you, despite the fact you're moving at, like, 35 miles an hour and your car directly at them.
Yeah. I'm going to turn on the floodlights and
I'm just like,
keep
don't
going.
Slow down, don't slow down, just keep going.
I hit pedal to the metal. Let's see if we can hear some crunches.
Okay, give me a drive roll.
Oh, God. My drive is so bad, and I used all my luck to get us here on time. I don't even know if we're on time, to be honest with you. 31 against 20, and I will use 11 luck.
Jesus Christ.
I am on... I'm now on 12 luck.
I'm only on 8, so you're doing better than me.
Yeah.
So there's thumps and screams, and, like, the window smashes, and sort of bodies are flying everywhere. But somehow...
Face comes right up against the windscreen, and it's the Prime Minister of England. He rolls off into the darkness.
But somehow you keep control of the car and you manage to drive through them and off
Leaving
into
carnage
the night.
In our wake.
I'm gonna need sanity checks from both of you.
Oh, shit.
This is the most fucked up thing I've ever seen in my life.
Sanity is like your power, isn't it?
Boom.
It's whatever you have left, yeah. Whoops,
I've got 12. Oh, wait, yes. Yeah,
I got 35 sanity? Against 50.
My sanity is 50, so I got 12 against 50.
So 100%, like you're shaken by it, but you kind of just grit your teeth. Like, there was something wrong with those people, and there's something wrong with this whole situation, and you almost feel like you're in a dream right now, and you just block it out and carry on driving and screech outside the police station that you've been guided to. There is a red haze over Boston, as if parts of the city are on fire. But sitting on the steps outside the police station is your good friend, Monty Jones.
Monty! I heard you tried to kill the Prime Minister. What's the story with that?
The fuck is going on, Monty?
I didn't kill the Prime Minister. He was at the museum. It was that creepy lady with the idol. She's behind
Esther.
It all. Yes,
Ethel.
Definitely not Eleanor, which I was going to say. Ethel. I knew it was something like that.
Ethel?
Yeah.
She was pretty hot. I don't know what the story is there, but...
Ethel.
So to help you fill in some of the blanks, so basically after you were shot and grabbed by the Prime Minister, they called the police, but obviously the police were there already. It's such an auspicious event with the sort of the likes of the sort of Prime Minister attending. Basically they were just there within a couple of minutes and you were dragged off to the station, locked away, you know, threatened with a death penalty and all sorts of things. A few hours passed, and this Spencer Randall, who you may or may not know, speaks to the guards and speaks to various people and just straightens everything out. Favours were exchanged.
Before you jump to the next bit, what did I pick up the last day? She's obviously behind it all. Is your man Warren involved? Or not, or do I know?
Doesn't seem to be, but you're not
Warren
sure.
Warren doesn't seem to be.
Okay, that's the way I read it at the time, I just wanted to make sure.
While you've been in jail, you've heard like all sorts of screams and stuff. Like at first there was loads of policemen there, but gradually they just all disappeared. Now there's like one person in the station because they're just continually called out. There's meant to be riots in the city. Yes, people are running around acting completely bestial.
Crazy.
I'm assuming that the guys have seen that coming through, basically.
Yeah, we ran.
Yeah, no, we're never going to speak about how we got here.
These dents are from kids were throwing stones at a car. Anyway, irrelevant. So Ethel was...
the kids.
Ethel was in on it the whole time or knew what was going on?
Yeah, what was the line she said to me, Joe? She said a line about when she took the gun to me. Like, she kind of... did the bad guy thing of explaining what was happening.
She did the bad guy thing.
Of explaining what was happening.
She says something about Nathan at the time, but I don't know. I was there, you were there, you were there too. You tell me.
You have it in your notes. I don't have it in my notes.
I have
notes.
No notes. I'm running this from my memory.
You wrote the fucking book. That's what I thought. All right,
so, there's nothing else we should tell
it's
you.
It's not the fucking never-ending story. It doesn't
along.
Fill in as you do things.
So we never got a chance to tell you. Monty, we never had a chance to tell you, but when we went to go see Mr. Gray, or Vincent Gray, he told us that that the idol was actually there all along. It just can only be seen in the moonlight.
And also that then we... Apparently it drives people crazy. If you look at it, you go crazy. And this must be what's happening now. We had a way to stop it, but...
She said, Eleanor said, or Ethel said, she was working for someone called Nyan Appleth. I don't know who that is or what that is, or would I guess, actually, as my Egyptologist?
Give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll.
Oh, well, I probably would not, having zero Mythos, I imagine. Yeah.
Yep, zero.
Yep. Let's see how this goes.
You can't.
I don't have any Mythos, it's not by rolling. I know.
Could he do, like, a cult, maybe?
It was more the Egyptian side of things. I didn't know if he was mentioned in the ancient times.
No. Anyway. But the thing we want to get across to you is that we found Vincent Gray, but we didn't find Clarence Butlersworth.
Guys,
he found us, and he knocked us the fuck out and took our solution. Essentially, we had some shards and a book that I had dropped, but we needed to...
Some shards? Shards of what?
The Akhenaten fragments. That's the
Akhenaten fragments. We're just going to call them the shards from now on. Okay, so the Akhenaten fragment shards.
So Potter, he was going to say
explained
us, yeah?
In these fragments how to stop the idol from taking over everything.
And it does.
We don't know. We didn't
say.
Have time to read it. The house was on fire. Vincent was dying, and then we heard a thump downstairs because his butler got murdered by Clarence.
Okay, let's go. That cafe over
we
there
don't have
them.
Clarence took them.
We don't have them. Clarence
beat the shit out of us and took the fucking fragments.
Okay, so let's get this right. Let's get right. You're 3 hours late for meeting up.
We had to go to the hospital. We almost died.
We have the answer. We have the...
Look, the only options I think
what time?
If they're involved in this, they are probably at museum. With Clarence is probably back there now. We should try.
Are you guys on probation with
I'm
the
not,
PI
he is.
Guy? Like, are you permanently employed by him? Because
can I just like open hand slap Monty across the face and say, "Shut up and listen."
When you do, you realize that he's wounded as well. Like it looks like he's got a bullet wound that's been roughly bandaged. You can see through his like ripped shirt.
Jesus Christ, Monty, you got shot?
Yeah, I saved some people.
Yeah, it looks like you did a great job. As I look around the city and it's burning.
She opened fire, Ethel, and I just I saved some women and children that were at the museum. I'm a hero. It's in my next book.
Okay, this is where I kind of lean forward and I go, "Hey, Monty, your book is amazing." And then I look back at Frank and I wink, and I'm like,
"Well, I'm listening.
Trust me, trust me, I got this, Monty. What we need to do is get some guns, and we need to peddle your book to Clarence."
Clarence, he took the book we had. I think he's a big fan of reading.
I think the book peddles itself, but I'm okay with this.
I mean, nothing wrong with a bit more encouragement towards it, no?
I just feel like, okay, to break the story...
Let's not go this silly with
like,
this.
I feel like Owen is really difficult to get him on track here. Just kind of like, the fuck were you guys doing? I'm like, We told you we got knocked out. We need this and this. Let's go grab some guns and go get it.
Well, let's do it. So there'll be guns. Yeah,
I was waiting for a suggestion of what we need to do. All right, yeah, let's go.
You said there's only one cop there.
There will be gun shops, and you know, if you want to break into the police station,
let's not do that. Let's just go to a gun shop. Probably vacated because the city's rioting.
Go to a gun shop, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's probably not going to be dangerous. The crazy.
Is anyone local to Boston? Does anyone actually come from Boston originally?
Sure.
I'm from Hollywood.
Okay, so yeah, you know of a bird gun shop within 5-10 minutes drive. You pull out outside, and the whole thing has been. In fact, who's got their highest luck?
Not me.
Not me anymore.
12?
I have 12 as well. Do we have to roll for it?
So see who gets who. Well, who gets I don't want to see what it's like when you arrive. So, Owen, give me a look.
Owen. Owen sucks at rolling.
Yeah. Actually, Owen has hardly failed the roll.
91.
Apart from that one gunshot. I was doing real last time. And I rolled an 8. And I rolled an 8, so fuck you, buddy. And fuck you.
Nice. Good job.
To make you eat
good
your
job.
Words, yeah.
Look, there's a gun shop right over there.
So, well, the two options were going to be that the guy has, like, completely barricaded it in and is hiding behind his counter with a shotgun ready for anyone who's behind the door. But with an 8, you arrive and the window has been smashed. It looks like it's been looted and you can easily get in and you can basically grab anything you like. It's just there for the taking. So what would if you'd like a gun, what would you like?
I'll take a shotgun.
I will take a pistol.
I will take whichever has a higher base roll. Let me look at rifles and shotguns. I will take a rifle. Why not?
What is a shotgun's base roll?
I don't know what a rifle's base roll is.
They're the same. It's rifle slash shotgun.
Right, I'll take a shotgun.
No, damage. Sorry, what's the damage I meant?
Shotgun 100%. It's 4d6.
And what's the rifle?
Between 1d6 and 1d10, depending on which one you grab.
What about pistol? 1d4, is it?
It depends which one you grab. If you grab a big 44, then it does 1d10 plus 1.
I'll take a big 44.
We're going balls to the wall here.
Yeah, no. I'm planning to basically try and sneak up on someone.
I guess I'll take a shotgun as well then.
Point blank them.
Yeah, right. A blunderbuss shotgun.
Okay, so
test that.
You're probably about 10 minutes from the museum itself driving, but you're kind of in the gun shop looting around looking for different things, and you hear this kind of strange scream, and the two boys, you've heard this already, and then running in front of the shop is like a couple. You notice the woman seems to be holding a child, and then they're like 10 seconds later, there's this huge group of these insane madmen chasing after them with this horrendous scream.
Really, you're putting us in this situation?
Okay.
Alright.
It's like you don't want us to end the story.
You don't want us to go to the museum. Jesus Christ. I wave over to the couple and the baby. I'm like, guys, over here.
Okay, so they kind of, so the way it's happened is they've like run past the window, the sort of shop window, and then and gone out of sight as they ran down the road, and then like a few seconds later this huge group has run after them. So if you run over to the window and you look out and you can see this group closing in on them from behind.
Oh, I don't care anymore. If they're gone, they're gone. Look guys, we have the choice of trying to stop this or helping random people we don't know. What do you want to do?
I think we gotta stop this situation just going to happen again and again.
Look, guys, can we get serious here and just let's sort this problem out?
As in, help the people, or stop?
No. Let's get to the museum.
Okay, let's go.
This lady shot me. Let's get this lady. Let's get it.
All right, look, let's hop in the car. I got this, guys. I'm going to drive us.
Harsh, man, harsh. Okay. Okay, so how are you going to approach the museum? Are you going to go directly? If you look on the map, the grounds are surrounded by a high wall. So there's huge grounds with this lake and sort of woods out the back. And the museum itself has a big car park in front of it, which you can easily pull up to.
Is it busy here? Is there still people or is it vacated by now?
I'm kind of just thinking in advance. So before you get there, where are you going to aim to? Are you going to just drive up to the front door or are you going to try and go around the back?
We're definitely just driving up to the front, aren't we?
Yeah, just up to the front. Like, we're trying to get there as fast as we can and just get everything we can get done.
So you pass a number of buildings on fire, and you do see like a group, this sort of crazed group, and they're sort of charging in the direction of the museum, and they're holding like a big group, like holding people, like each person seems to have grabbed a struggling person and is carrying them in their arms. Like at this probably group of eight probably have at least four or five people captive. But I'm guessing the way that you're doing is you're just kind of driving past them and straight towards the museum. You park outside and it is eerily silent. I think I probably used this description for Owen last time, but it's a good one to repeat. Let's see if I can find it. The edifice glares down upon you in the deepening dark. Wings of stone encircle you left and right, drawing you towards the gaping maw of columns and shadow. What was officious and regal during the day has become hunched and sinister in the night. What terrors await you inside? And it is completely pitch black. No light seem to be on inside. There is no sign of movement. You can't see anything. In fact, saying that, that's not true. The whole thing is lit by moonlight, so it's dark and shadowy, but there's this sort of moonlight shining over the whole scene.
Thankfully, it seems quiet. We need to find that Clarence's office or Ethel's office, one or the other. What they've taken from us, they...
I know where Ethel's office is, and I still have that key. And I show the key to the vault.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and sneak in. You think maybe we could cause a distraction with the car? Drive around and then you follow.
How about
up?
We just set a car out here on fire?
Let's not set our only way of getting out of here.
I wasn't saying our car, I mean, another car. But either way.
Yeah, I'm looking around. You can see a whole load of, you know, really expensive sort of Rolls Royces and like, really expensive cars. In the centre of the car park is this kind of marquee that was set up for sort of canapes and dinner, and that seems to be completely empty. There's a red carpet going sort of across the middle and all the way up the steps.
Could I, like, start a car up and like just get like a brick or something and put it on the pedal and make a drive into the wall on like the far end of the museum, like over here direction, and like we can sneak in on the other side?
So where do you want to sneak in? So like right now there's only one real entrance in front of you, so there's the doors. If you look on the Roll 20, there's like a picture right in front of you, so there's that main door, and there's windows to your left and right that you can try and go to.
You guys, You stay back with your guns. I'm going to go knock.
You're a brave man, Colin. That's why I like you.
I mean, we don't have to knock. Is the door open or closed? Is it going to be like
the whole doorway entrance is complete shadow. So it may be open, it may not be. You can't actually see from the other end of the car park where you currently are.
Okay, Monty. I'm going to go check. I'm going to go check if the door is open or not. If the door is locked, I'm going to knock, but while I'm knocking, I'll make the sound. I'll signal you with the sound of a dying giraffe, okay? It'll be like... Alright, you ready?
Reasonable.
South Park reference.
Okay.
Alright, I stroll up and I'm checking the door.
So you kind of make your way towards the museum, and you arrive at the sort of steps that lead up to the door under the columns, and you see there's like a body lying on the steps about halfway up, and it seems to be, I'm not entirely sure, but it seems to be the body of Warren Hollister, the museum's owner, in an increasing pool of blood.
I want to go over and touch it.
You sort of get close, and there is like a real stench, as if his kind of bowels have opened, a real strong strength of urine. But he kind of sort of stirs as you shake him.
Psst, you up? Give him a bit of a shake.
Do you have first aid?
Yes, I do. And I will try a bit of first aid. It's the first aid shake.
First aid shake.
So, 22 against 50. Nice. That's a hard success.
Oh, nice. Okay, you kind of look down, you see he's got something embedded in his chest. It looks like a ceremonial dagger or something like this. It's certainly one of the museum artifacts, but you manage to kind of stem the bleeding briefly just by putting pressure on it, and he begins to stir, and he sort of looks up at you through bloodshot eyes and goes, "Colin, oh Colin, it's terrible."
Shh, Warren, it's okay. I'm here now. What happened?
Idol. It had never been stolen. It was in the sarcophagus, shining, so so beautiful, and everyone began to look at it, and I could, and I looked upon it. It was so strange, and I could hear it whispering inside my head, and I fought against it, and I ran, but everyone else seemed to fall under its spell. And when I turned round, Ethel was there. Oh, Ethel, and she stabbed me.
Where is Ethel now?
I don't know, but you need to get away.
Have you seen Clarence?
Clarence? No, he's not been here, not since yesterday.
Okay, I think... I don't know what we're going to have to do here about this. Warren, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave you here. And I'm going to go back over. Instead of going to the door to check it, I'm going to go back and tell...
No, please, don't leave me. Don't leave me, Colin.
Shh, will you shut up and die quietly? Right, I'm going to head back over.
Just, like, start sobbing. Oh, please don't leave me, Colin.
Warren was only caring about the money anyway. He didn't care about anything else. So, Frank, Monty... So Warren's there on the steps bleeding out. I gave him a little bit of first aid, you know, a bit of a throat punch or something. And he came to. It turns out that Clarence has not been here at all. The idol, as we assumed, it turns out Vincent was actually right. Vincent Gray was actually right, and the idol had never been taken. It was there the whole time and showed up in the moonlight. Everybody lost their minds. Warren resisted, and Ethel stabbed him. But Clarence hasn't been seen so far, so I don't know if he's here right now, and our only way to stop this thing is with the things he has. So, shall we risk it and go in anyway?
I mean, I don't see any other options.
What do we need to stop? I mean, can't we just kill Ethel, whatever she's doing, whatever she's planned, and close her sarcophagus?
I don't think at this stage she's in control. I think whatever's going on, she's helped, but I don't think she could stop it. Well, maybe she can. Maybe if we catch her.
Maybe she knows another way to reverse it.
Maybe. Let's go. It's our only option at this stage. If we don't know where Clarence is, he could be anywhere, but we know that she is probably inside.
We're going to have to get the drop on her, so...
Monty, if anything will aggravate her more, it would be you coming back, so maybe you could distract her while we grab her from behind.
Sounds like a very...
Hands up if you've been shot here already today. Just me. Maybe someone else.
Hands up if you've been in hospital already today. Just us.
Yeah, I've had no attention. I agree. You got looked after. You seem like you're in good health.
Do I really? My face is like covered, matted in blood on one side. Like.
Okay. Can you all give me listen rolls, please?
If you're going to be a pussy, I'll go and be the hero again.
Okay, listen. I got a 91 versus 20, so I don't hear shit.
I got a 30 against 20, didn't hear anything.
I rolled a 90 versus 20, so me and Nihilus together.
Yeah, like, oh.
So you are going back and forth, and I guess you've probably sort of towards the you know, you've pulled your car up, so you're actually in the car park, and none of you hear the big group of sort of possessed partygoers arrive at the gate until they spot you and start screaming. Again, this unearthly scream lets out. And they start charging towards
right.
you. I'd say there's about 8 of them, and they're currently about 50 foot away.
Looks like it's into the museum.
I'm going to try and disguise myself as one of them.
Godspeed with getting killed. Just a quick question for you, Joy. You described the front of the museum. Is there any windows along the bottom for the basement or cellar that I was in?
Oh, you right now you're kind of in the middle of the car park, so if you want to kind of run over to the wall and start searching, yeah, you can definitely do that. So that's it. So you kind of run off towards one of the palatial wings.
I'm staying with the guys. Literally, I mean, can I see a window? If I can't see a window, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to stay with the guys.
Not from where you are now. The museum's in shadow.
Look, we can decide who gets shot after we get away from these guys who look like they're going to beat us to death.
Deal? I think into the museum is the best option right now. At least we can bar the door from the inside.
And I'll book it after him, yeah.
Right, let's
and go. We just ignore Warren on the steps. We've forgotten about him because, like, we're scared of the zombies or whatever the fuck they are.
Use his body to, like, mask the sound of your footsteps.
Okay, so you kind of run up the steps, straight into the museum, slam the door, but there doesn't seem any way of barring it, and they're only a few seconds behind you.
We lock it from the inside. There's probably like a lock or something from the inside.
There's a key. There's keyholes, but there's no obvious way of, you know.
Can I use
across.
My lock picking to lock it?
You absolutely can. There's also things like you could maybe, you know, there's various artifacts in the, you know, huge pictures and various artifacts within the area.
I rolled 76 against 70, and I'm going to use a bit of luck to actually lock it. So I'm going to use 6 luck.
Okay. So you manage to lock the huge door just in time, and from outside you hear the frantic beating of the crazed partygoers banging on the door. As you kind of settle into the atrium, it's a huge opening area of the museum. It's a huge area. You can see right up to the top floors, so sort of 3 floors above you, left and right, the palatial wings spread out. But what you can hear from the back of the museum chills your blood as it seems to be chanting.
Hmm.
Okay, so...
Back meaning the atrium area?
I'm going to say...
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I'm going to try and sneak up, so you guys take point, and I'll go down the wing. So I'm going to try and stealth up. I'm going to stealth towards it. Let me just check that. And there we go. I got a 34 against 60.
Okay, so you're moving really silently and dodging from shadow to shadow and using the various artifacts to completely cover you. Into the other two, it looks like he's just disappeared into the darkness.
So, I guess...
Are you going to wait here, or are you going to follow him?
Follow to a certain point and then stop before it like gets too close where someone might spot me, and then wait there on point. With my shotgun, which is loaded. I loaded it. And I have spare shells in my pockets too.
Okay.
So is this hallway to the atrium or whatever it is there like... Is it just a straight long corridor, like wide open museum, or is there like installations in the middle of the room and along the way, you know?
So the quickest way to the atrium would be to go through one of the exhibits. I think we said it was the Roman exhibit. And then you sort of walk through this big room, and at the back is another door. And that opens up to a corridor which runs 90 degrees, the full length of the museum. To your left, the corridor goes down to the door where you were locked. And you do see a pool of blood where the person you stabbed with the spear is. To your right, it goes down a few metres to where the door to the atrium is open, and the sound of chanting is much, much louder.
Question. Is it when you say corridor, like, to me a corridor is tiny, but is this like a museum corridor that's like 40 feet high and 40 feet wide?
100%, yeah, 100%.
So, is there installations along the middle of that corridor, is what I want to know? Like, is there statues and stuff that's... to read, like, and hide behind and stuff?
Yeah, I think 100% they will be, yeah. So if you do want to stealth, and I'd say this to you as well, Corinne, if you'd failed, you can roll with advantage, because there are loads of... It's very, very easy to stealth through here, particularly as all the lights are gone.
What I would do is... Because I'm going to assume that, because the museum's massive, Corinne is kind of sneaking off. You're not going the same way we're going, Corinne. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, no. I said that, like, if there's a way to get to somebody from like above, that would be great, but I'm guessing there isn't, since it's the atrium. But I'm just essentially going as close as I can in stealth, and I'm going to try and listen.
So if you want to get to the atrium, you absolutely can go to the top levels. So if you went to the second floor, then you could get onto one of the balconies in the atrium, so you could definitely do that.
That's where I am, yeah.
So if he does that, I go to that corridor we're talking about on the ground floor, just outside the atrium door, hiding behind like a statue to... I'm kind of thinking I'm waiting for a distraction. He does something in the atrium, and I'll hear some sort of commotion, or someone will come out of the door, and I'll catch them on the way out.
I'll be posed at the door with Owen, just waiting for anyone to leave, or like something to happen for us to run in if we need to.
So without saying a word, I look over to Monty, I look over to Frank, and I'm like, air fist bumping.
You can't see them. Boom. You've gone it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You don't. So you're on the floor above
fist
them, almost directly
you
above
fist bump
them,
yourself.
And the door. See.
Yeah, so good.
The door to the atrium on the second story, or the first story if you're American. I'm confused about that. But anyway, the next floor, that one's closed. It's not locked though, and you kind of inch it open. The entire roof of the atrium is glass. That's one of the reasons why part is redone and the moonlight is shining down and filling it with like an unearthly light, like way more light than moonlight should be able to create, almost like something that it's shining upon is actually letting out this really incredible glow, which is sort of giving this sort of chiaroscuro effect, this sort of black and white with harsh shadows. But right now you're kind of crouched down, haven't gone in yet, so you haven't seen anything within the atrium.
Okay, I'm gonna have my gun in my hand, my 44, and I'm going to, looking down the sights, peek out over.
So into the room. So the exhibit that was sort of filling the floor of the atrium has been completely destroyed, and you can just see it's all been knocked over and smashed, and across it there are at least 20 party goers and maybe some citizens of Boston. You actually notice a few policemen as well, like police officers, and they are all sort of kneeling in supplication towards this statue, this figure, which is within inside the sarcophagus, glowing with this incredible light. From this distance, it seems to be like a bipedal figure composed of wraith-like, translucent material, almost like it's made of the moonlight itself. And
I want to shoot it.
Well, before you do, I need you to roll sanity.
Fuck.
So, this thing is just so incredible and so unearthly. Like, you can feel your mind breaking.
53 against 50.
Do you spend that 3 luck?
Oh. Yes, I do.
You're on what, 3 luck now?
I'm on 3 luck.
Oh, okay, so
I barely hold it together.
So even with that, so it's a D8 sanity rather than D12.
Oh my god, okay. 1D8. Gotcha.
Oh my god.
Oh, maximum 8 I'm losing. So that's 8 off of 50, so I'm down to 42 sanity. And I'm going to have a bout of madness.
You may do, so can you give me an intelligence check?
Why do I have to be so damn intelligent and handsome? 39 against 70, I completely understand it.
You completely understand, and you just find yourself completely entranced with its ethereal beauty, and you find yourself unable to look away. Its magnificence is just incredible, and you feel yourself standing up and stepping towards it. And I need you to make another sanity roll as it begins to... You feel it's like insidious tentacles worm into your psyche.
I fail with 87 against 42.
Okay, so you are now subjected to its alien will. First of all, can you lose D12 sanity?
Come on, 1D12.
God. You are a cruel, cruel dungeon master. 5. So, yep. That means I've lost a total of 13.
So you're already under a bout of madness. It makes no other. And you feel yourself being dominated. So this is an opposed power roll. So can I just... What's your power?
50.
50. Okay, so the idol's power is 150.
What the fuck?
but that's not an automatic success. So basically a normal success for this would be anything but 100. A hard success with this would be anything over under 75. So you can still win, you've just got to get a degree of success ahead of it.
So how much do I have to get? Like,
depends
on what you roll.
Depends on what I roll, yeah. So if I roll a 1, then you can't, obviously. So yeah. Let's just see how he rolls.
Oh my sweet Jesus.
So he rolls
a 5.
Rolls a 5 versus 150.
So I can't win.
So you can't win. I mean, let's see what you would have rolled. Yeah.
97 against 50.
So you are 100% dominated by this, and you can feel yourself ebbing away. What's your intelligence?
70.
So you can still, like Ethel, you still retain yourself. You're not going to turn into like a mindless wreck like Clarence Butterworth. You retain yourself. You've got enough ambition and enough drive that's going to keep part of you, but now your goals are now the idol's goals, and everything that you know, it knows, and like vice versa. And so you begin to stalk back through the museum in search of your two companions.
Oh, Frankie, oh, gone get it.
Meanwhile, downstairs, it's been a few minutes, and the chanting from within seems to be reaching a crescendo. But there's no sign of Colin.
This isn't good. I thought, like, He would have done something by now.
Maybe we should go in. I mean, maybe you should open the door there. I'll back you up.
You sure?
I mean, I don't know. This chanting is happening. The place is crazy. We have those people outside trying to get in. We're going to be stuck between two really hard things soon if we don't do something.
Out of character. From when we were in there before, when we go directly in the door, is there things we can hide behind before, like, anyone in there would see us?
So the way that the exhibit was organised is, as you go in, you kind of are just facing the statue across the atrium. So that's going to be the first thing that you see and the first thing that sees you. There are these kind of pillars all the way around, and there's a walkway that goes all the way round the atrium, and you could almost, like, just sort of dive to your left or dive to your right, and you would be completely outside. I want to do that.
And we know that it drives us mad,
yeah,
don't we?
I've been told that, like, if you look at it, you get possessed, or you yeah. When I go in, I'm going to dive to the right. If you go in, you go to the left. That way we have both sides. Do not look at the idol.
I mean, yeah, we can't look at the idol. But yeah, that's a good idea, but how are we going to shoot at people when we can't really look in their general
look
direction?
Look at them, not at the idol.
Okay. It seems like, yeah, what's the worst of that?
We can't go out the front. There are maniacs out there trying to kill us.
I mean, we can hide in the basement. I know a good basement. Like, I was saying earlier, we should just close the sarcophagus. So if we get behind this thing, we can just sneak up and close it. And then it's sealed forever with its magical sealiness. I can read some of the hieroglyphs and do an incantation. Maybe it'll probably help.
Okay,
sure.
Then let's try to sneak around behind it. We're still going to have to go into the atrium, though.
Okay, I'll follow your lead.
Okay, I'm going to go in and dive to the right.
Okay, and you're kind of making an effort not to look at the...
Yeah, and I want to hold my shotgun sideways, so I'm cool.
Literally, I go in and I'm watching the ground, but like I kind of, like, as soon as I go in, I just dive. But, like, kind of quickly dodge to, like, the right to try to get behind a pillar.
I wish the fans could see you acting out how you would dive with a gun.
Okay, so you say one going left, one going right. So you kind of start crawling along through the sort of shadowy darkness. The room is way too light. There is no way that there should be this amount of sort of glaring white light coming from just the moon. There's something amplifying this strange ethereal sort of contrast around you. So you crawl through the shadows. Occasionally there's sort of gaps in the arches to your right, and you do sort of see from the corner of your eye there are these people sort of kneeling in supplication, bowing towards the sarcophagus, which you kind of avoid looking at. And eventually you kind of get to the end, and you would technically be behind the sarcophagus at this point.
And has anyone spotted us? No.
I felt like there was a buck coming, but yeah.
No, they all seem to be, you know, obsessed with this sort of sarcophagus. You know, they're in whatever prayer, whatever chant they're doing, that's what they are
doing.
So,
like, can I peek out and see how many people are there? And, like, what's... They're not... None of them are looking in our direction. They're just looking directly at the sarcophagus, yeah?
Currently, you're completely hidden. So they're just sort of, you know, kneeling down, arms outstretched in prayer. Occasionally sort of raising their arms up and bowing down again. But, yeah, there's about 20 of them. They don't seem to be paying you any attention at all.
So as he's kind of looking out, just surveying the area, can I see, is there any sort of, like, tapestry, curtains, anything like that?
Would there be, like, ancient Egyptian? I don't think I've ever seen a tapestry. Like, it seems too long ago for anything like that to survive.
Or a giant poster that says, check out the Idol of Thought, it's super cool right now.
Yeah, they would be 100% that, yeah, advertising the Ormond exhibition, definitely.
With the little note at the bottom, guest speaker, Monty Jones.
Little note.
In fact, I like the idea. There's actually, like, a giant poster for you talking about your book.
me standing in a stack of my books with books in hand.
Can we say I'm actually there?
I was about to say, and I think this is a really good point for you to arrive. And so you sort of arrive in the museum door, looking all around. So can you give me a spot hidden to see if you see the two boys?
Bastard. Yeah, he's gonna start to be a fucking
bat. 73 against 60. I don't quite see
it. He better not start being a good CI now.
I put my hands out and I'm like, Frank, Monty.
So you both hear this, and you can see him stood full in this glaring light, the other end of the room in the room's doors, bathed in it.
Can I see Monty from where I am? Are we next to each other again, behind the...
I think at this moment you're still kind of hidden. You haven't actually jumped out into the centre of the room. You're still hidden
but
behind
But can I see
the,
Monty?
The arches. He's the opposite side. I don't know how well you're hidden. If you want to give me a spot hidden, you definitely can. Unless you kind of, like, poke your head.
Well, I assume that we can see each other and we kind of work. We're very cognizant of what we're both doing. Yeah, we might be able to hear each other. Like, I don't know how far apart we are in each side.
Because
room,
I can see Frank.
We're very cognizant of
Because
where
I can see
we are.
Colin, sorry, just standing in the actual atrium and not, like, trying to hide himself. I see if I can see Monty, and I'm just like, don't, like, finger up to my lips, just like, shh, don't, something's wrong, he shouldn't be doing this.
So, I'm looking over my shoulder as I'm trying to tear down a poster quietly, like, unhook a poster quietly from the wall, and I give him, like, a knowing nod.
I prepare my shotgun, get ready.
I'm just gonna be, like, chanting while walking around, going,
so you know, Curran, that there is a full-on chant to summon the dark god Nyarlathotep happening right now.
So I'm going to start chanting with them while walking around looking. So I'm there chanting away. I'm like, Nyarlathotep, why don't you show up? Awesome. Yay. Monty! Frank! I'm getting louder. I'm just like... Guys, I know you're in here.
Just like,
where
just
are
bead
you?
Bead of sweat rolling down my forehead.
So at this point, Monty, you have this big poster now. You've managed to remove it from the wall.
Okay, so I'm basically going to have this thing kind of folded just under my arm, holding the shotgun, and kind of look over at Frank and kind of go... try to mime out as best I can, you know, poster, throw it over to this idol, you, like, pointing at him, pointing, like, raising my gun, pointing at 20 people or whatever was in the room, you said, kind of going, you take care of that, and then kind of raise my shoulders as if to say, what do you think?
I just kind of shrug and just go,
yeah. I just start shouting.
And then just before, hey! I give a thumbs up, and just before we do it, because I think Monty's deserve it. I do that in the air. Give it a fist bump in the air.
Fist bump. Monty drops his shotgun in shock and it goes off. No. A single tear rolls down his eyes. He raises his air fist bump.
Now, can I look in the crowd and see, is Ethel there?
She does not seem to be there.
All right. Do I recognize anyone in the crowd?
How well do you know Boston society?
Not well.
Give me a credit rating.
I got 50 on that, I think. It's obviously... I don't think there's going to be anyone I really give a shit about in there, though. I got a 43 versus 50.
There doesn't seem to be anyone pertinent to the story, but yeah, you do recognise various kind of heads of companies and, yeah, newspaper editors and, various dilettantes and things like that. But no one that has been in the story.
Okay,
so
well, they seem kind of...
Quite like the idea of Spencer Randall's there, actually. Let's have Spencer Randall in there.
I see that everyone there is kind of sedate and just, like, focusing, but I know that Frank is, or Colin is not, so as Monty prepares, I don't want to actually shoot him because he's my partner, but I'm willing to, like, try to knock him out or take him out in order to give Monty time. So that's where I am and what I'm doing.
Okay, so as he kind of approaches, you're going to sort of dive out and tackle him?
I was thinking more so, like, wait till he's near the pillar I'm at and then, like, come out and either... clock him in the back of the head with the stock of the shotgun to knock him out. Or, yeah, I'll do that. I don't want to punch him with brass knuckles.
I like that idea. I'm going to give a spot hidden versus stealth. I think that's probably fair. If no one succeeds, then you succeed because I think you're probably an advantage.
So I'm going for stealth. He's going for spot hidden. All right, Colin.
Okay, spot hidden. 40 versus 60.
30 versus 40. 35 versus 40.
So, yes. Like, you do spot him,
but it's too late.
Just as he kind of jumps out and covers you, like, but...
The shotgun just goes flat into his nose and just, like, knocks him.
So as he kind of jumps out and clobbers you, it's how are you going to try and react back? Would you try and block it with kind of a dodge roll, or do you brawl back or fire your shotgun at
him? He has
like
a pistol and a shotgun.
Pistol.
Yeah, I've got a 44. I'm probably going to brawl back, so I'll try that.
Okay, I'm going to give Niall a bonus die because he's attacking from...
I got 72 against 25.
I got 65 versus 70.
So normal success. So give me your damage roll.
I'll just do like my regular D3. Because
do you have a damage bonus?
No, I don't think so. I just did a 1.
Oof. So you kind
which
of...
is enough to bring my HP to half. I'm unconscious.
So it's half your maximum. So you are staggered, and I am going to ask for a con roll because you do have a major wound.
I hope I don't kill you.
69 against 40.
So he just drops down. You thuds the ground unconscious.
And
looking really bad because you've just thumped him in the head, a guy with a head wound.
I know.
I may never wake up again.
Has anyone reacted from the chanting?
Yeah, the chanting is beginning to stop. In the people near you, not all 20, it's almost like they want to try and keep as many people as possible doing what it's doing. So like 3 or 4 people kind of like shake themselves and look up and begin to walk towards
I have my shotgun at the ready. But I'm kind of like, I'm looking at them, but like I still have my head down so that I can't see further. I'm like just looking at them and like just trying to look at the bottom half of their bodies almost like so I don't actually see what's going on beyond it.
Okay, so the lead one lets out this horrendous scream and kind of points at you.
I shoot them immediately.
So before we handle that, let's jump over to Monty Jones. So you see all this go down.
As I see him raise the shotgun to shoot, can I... That'd be my cue to kind of run out.
Okay.
But as I run out... So what distance is it to the sarcophagus from where I am at the back of the room?
For about 20, 30 feet, yeah. Really, it's in the centre of the room. It's about 50, 60 foot wide room. So you can run across there, no problem. Are you going to keep behind it, like at that angle?
Oh, I'm definitely going to stay directly behind the sarcophagus and aim to throw the sheet like over it directly. And then, if possible, basically try and fire on the guy that Niall's going for as well.
So in what order do you want to do first? You want to shoot first or do you want
to... I want to cover first, like...
So you sort of cover it up, and there's this sort of moment where the kind of the light in the room dulls, but the blazing intensity from inside the sarcophagus just seems to go straight through this poster, despite the fact it's made of really thick paper. And no one seems affected. Like, you've blocked it, you've covered it, but again, nothing seems to have happened.
What was that?
The oven goes off.
Do I see this happen? Can I just shout to actually close the sarcophagus?
Yeah. So let's have your shotgun roll as that happens. Or unless you... Owen, did you say you wanted to fire your shotgun too?
Well, if I throw it over and I notice immediately like the light is basically just slightly dim but still coming through fully.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I notice that, I'd then try and close the sarcophagus. I said that was what I was going to try. Like, so there's no notice of the din of the lads chasing Niall and all the people around are still the same, like, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. So you sort of clunk the sarcophagus closed, and it's almost like there's no catch. So you sort of clunk it, let go, and it begins to kind of, like, creep open again. But when you clunk it closed, the light dims in the whole room, and the chanting stops, and everyone looks up in anger, and there's this horrendous scream, and you can tell they're all about to launch themselves towards you.
Can I take a book and leave it against the door that's half swinging open to keep it wedged shut?
So while you're doing that, Niall.
Book's the greatest tool ever, lads. Keep reading.
Seeing that the light from it has like gone down and like it appears to be closed, I look up freely again. And you said there was someone running at me?
Yeah. 3 people in
front. Alright, I shoot the closest person to me.
Okay, give me a rifle shotgun roll. You're at point blank range, so you can roll with advantage.
Okay. With advantage, I will roll again. I got a 1!
16 against 20.
Very, very nice. So that
the person in front of me just disintegrates.
It is just a normal success. You actually can't impale with a shotgun anyway. So give me your 4d6 damage.
Because it's a 1, is it not full damage?
You can only do that with an impaling weapon.
You can't actually impale with a shotgun. D6 times 4. I did 13 damage to the front person.
You completely obliterate him in a bloody mist. and he drops the ground. But the two others start running towards you, and you can see the whole room is about to come alive and rip you to shreds.
How many people are around, Niall, did you say exactly?
So there's two people, there was three, one's disappeared in a bloody mist. Two more are about to launch themselves towards him, like a metre away. He might get off one more shot, but unlikely. But the whole room is now coming alive.
I just shout out, smash the idol.
Okay, so so you shout that out, and the two guys like launch themselves towards you. If we have it as like a double barrel shotgun, you can have a shot as the last one sort of as he look because you've got a readied gun. So basically, you have +50 to your initiative, so you can fire at one of them as he kind of jumps you, and all you right. can roll with advantage as well.
Okie dokie, 54 or 66, both are misses.
So you kind of. Fire off your gun, and he knocks it out of your hand and launches himself towards you, or knocks the barrel down as he launches himself towards you. So brawl roll versus he gets. Oh my god, I'm rolling so well. A 10.
I do a
versus
brawl
yeah. skill. Yeah, yeah. Or you can dodge. So 10 versus 40.
I got 55 versus 70.
So it's both normal successes. If you're fighting back, it actually goes to the attacker. So it counts as him winning. So he does a 1d3 damage.
Okay. So
thumps you for 1 point of damage.
Yeah, okay. I have one health left.
I need a con roll because you've got a major wound.
Yeah. All right. 96 versus 60. I just drop unconscious.
Dropped to the ground. Okay. Second one starts to jump at you as well with the full intention of ripping you limb from limb. Owen.
It's all down to Monty.
Monty, baby.
Monty.
About 17 possessed partygoers are about to launch themselves towards you.
Oh, cool. I tried to save it. I guess with seeing him go down and being jumped on, can I just grab my shotgun halfway up and just swing it like a bat and knock over the sarcophagus, because the sarcophagus looked weighty enough when we saw it earlier, didn't it?
Oh yeah. So I can't remember exactly how tall I say it was. It's about sort of 2 foot
18
tall,
inches. You said 18 inches, yeah.
Yeah. So sort of
but it's made of rock, like the actual sarcophagus, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Sort of like it looked like an unknown material. I think we described it as something you've never seen before. But yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Monty will be able to lift it. So I'm just going to grab my shotgun halfway up like a baseball bat and hit it as hard as I can with the butt of my rifle.
Well, okay. Just give me a straight up strength roll.
Come on, Monty. You can do this. I believe in you, Monty.
Come on, Monty.
Versus 4.
Yeah!
3. I have rolled a grand total of 13 on my last 3 rolls.
Jesus.
That's incredible. Okay.
Insane.
So your shotgun cracks into the sarcophagus and it just kind of explodes in dust and carries on going to where it cracks into the ethereal crystal idol, which again just kind of shatters. And there's this moment of kind of like implosion and explosion all at once where you are showered in light and glass and crystal and you kind of like blink against the darkness that kind of completely clouds your vision. It's just so bright, like staring at the sun. And as you kind of blink away the haze, everything is normal. The ethereal light is gone. The partygoers are kind of like looking around in stunned disbelief at what's happened the last 3 or 4 hours. Your two companions are unconscious, both looking very grey. But you have succeeded in defeating the Idol of Thoth, which has 1 hit point.
As they're blinking, you're looking around trying to figure out what happened. Because I like realize, oh shit, instantly drop my shotgun and kick it underneath the poster. Because if they see all these dead bodies with bullet holes, I might be in a bit of trouble.
Congratulations. You have finished the Idol of Thoth, and you've done it alive, which is not a common result for people who arrive after 5 o'clock. So how can we epilogue this? What would you like to do to finish this up?
I would like to have myself and Frank wake up in the hospital with Monty reading us excerpts from his book. And then I'm like, oh god, oh, Monty? Frank? The hell happened?
I'll be reading from my new book, The Fuller Monty.
I'm like, you know guys, when I first met you, I told you, you know, name's Colin, nothing more to it. But I think you guys have earned my last name. The name's Colin Mayers. I'm actually looking for my brother, Hector Mayers. You might know him as Harold Mudd.
Oh yeah, I love his movies.
Yeah, well, he went missing ever since he went with the. He was hanging out with Spencer. So I'm just sort of trying to investigate at the moment. I didn't think there's anything to it, but this seems like it's quite a crazy world out there.
And that's a fantastic way of ending the episode. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you everyone at home for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to play it yourself, it's available right now on DriveThruRPG. I think it's for about $4. Great one night scenario. Really, really recommend it, as you've probably gathered from listening. At least I hope you have. My name's Joe Truitt, and I've been the keeper tonight. If you want to get in contact with me, you can find me on Twitter at HWR Podcast, and obviously I hang out in the HWR How We Roll Podcast. I'm now joined. I've been joined by three fantastic players. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. How can people get hold of you? Owen, let's start off with you.
Guys, if you want to get in contact with me, you can get me at How We Roll Own. Own is Eoghan, or drop into the Discord. I'm often in there. I've been kind of away for the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm back now. So you can give me any abuse on how I played in there.
Fantastic. And Curran, how can people find you?
Hey, I'm Curran. I've been playing Colin Mayers. And if you want to find me or get in contact with me, you can find me at How We Roll Curran on Twitter or on the How We Roll Discord.
Fantastic. And last but no means least, we've had Niall joining us today. Niall, how can people contact you?
You can find me on the How We Roll Discord. I'm usually there with the rest of the guys. And if you have any questions, I'm usually good for replying, I think. I hope. And thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the playthrough of the Idol of Thoth, and if you did, definitely check it out on DriveThruRPG. Our next release will be our playthrough of Chaosium's Two-Headed Serpent, which is an Emmy Award-winning Pulp Cthulhu campaign. And if that wasn't enough, we actually have one of the writers of the campaign, Scott Dorwood, as GM. If you can't wait, the first two episodes have already been released on our Patreon channel at www.patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. And we'd like to thank Kevin, Brian, Pandanon and Spider for becoming our latest supporters of the show. Before we go, Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms have a gold chest giveaway for you. All you have to do is log into the game and enter this code, REISGOERBONE. MEUS. We'd also like to say a huge thank you to battlebards.com, who supplied much of the music and sound effects you've heard in the show. So if you like that and want your games at home to sound a bit like How We Roll, go to battlebards.com and check out some of their music. That is all from us this week, and we'll be back soon with the exciting first episode of the Two-Headed Serpent. Bye for now.